Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ, and our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, our dear and near guest speaker and my soul sister is Dr. Pamela Lardy. Pamela is a professor, coach, author, business owner, and director of education for the Institute of Coaching. She remains committed to engaging in the work of advancing the research and commitment of the coaching profession to serve and build up heart-centered leaders around the world. Her research focuses on race and gender dynamics, self-motivation, joy resilience, and post-traumatic growth. Additionally, she has written 3 books. The most recent one is Joyfully Single, and she has contributed chapters to publications in education and research. And she also presents her research for national and international audiences. As a dedicated member of the global community, Dr. Lardy is committed to taking the lead in addressing compelling social issues via coach training through the ICF-accredited Academy of Creative Coaching, which she founded in 2013. The Academy is the first Black female-owned ICF-accredited coaching school in the world. Finally, her podcast, The Joyful Whisper, is a platform for discussion that covers issues concerning humanity, intellect, change, and of course, joy. Welcome to our podcast, Pamela.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Me too. So let us know, please, that how do you like the world know you, and anything personal or professional that you like to add?
Well, I think it's important to note that first and foremost, I am a professor, a college professor and researcher, and I use those two aspects of my career to help doctoral students achieve their doctorate degrees. So I do a lot of the work with the research with them in helping them write their dissertations. I sit on their chair, or I'm the chair of their dissertation committees. And for that reason, I am a bit of a generalist because I have a lot of information about a lot of different things, because our students look at everything from leadership. We're in a leadership program, leadership in the medical field to leadership in the NCAA sports. And so it gives me a really good sneak peek at a lot of different aspects of leadership and even coaching.
Thank you so much for bringing your joy and wisdom, you know, to all our community, and especially to the students and your students, and I mean, everyone who's interested in learning. Today, we are actually, as you know, my background is pathology. I call it doing the autopsy of the joy. So let's go for that. To you, what's the definition of the joy, Pamela, and why is it important?
Yeah, you know, there's so many different ways that people have described joy, and especially when you look across professions. You know, if you look at even the way joy is described in the neurology in that world, or the way joy is described in theology or social science, you know, sociology to be specific, leadership, there's different ways that joy has been described. And what I did is I looked at sort of across all of these different disciplines, and kind of came up with what it looks like, the consensus is, but as well as, you know, what maybe we're missing in our definitions of joy. The American Psychological Association defines joy as a feeling that we have in response to, you know, great things that are happening in our lives. It's a feeling of exhilaration. Exhilaration is one of the words that I think stands out across the board. When I look at what's being said across the different disciplines, it is something that is rooted within. It's something that's not necessarily in response to stimuli, but it is something that we can, it can be in response to stimuli, but it's also something that we can produce within ourselves when we have the skill set to do so.
Yeah. So in a kind of joy is a kind of, you know, experience and feeling, you know, in a world of emotional intelligence language, we call it our joy bucket. So to me, joy is our currency for life, for living. So if there is no joy, you have no motivation, you know, to just continue living, you know, in an exciting or happy way. So, and I always wish for my clients, we have to fill up our joy bucket. That's what it's keeping us going. But what's the difference between the joy and happiness?
Well, you know, one of the things that I was, as you were talking right now, that, you know, the thing that keeps us going, the thing that fuels us, being joy, I will also say that the thing, there is other things that fuel us that aren't quite so positive. You know, if we are, we experience a dramatic loss of some sort, and that loss becomes the catalyst of that pain and that anger, for example, becomes the catalyst for revenge, or, you know, doing something that you think will make you feel better. And that's kind of where I think happiness is rooted, not always in revenge and things that, you know, and negativity, but happiness is something that we experience directly in response to what's happening in life. And so our environment, the stimuli that's surrounding us, our happiness is a response to the positive stimuli that we're experiencing. And now, thing about happiness is positive can be very subjective, because somebody can find happiness in a really toxic situation. And so the idea of the difference between happiness and joy is that, you know, happiness is something that we respond to more passively. Joy is something that we, while it can be in response to what's going on, it is something that we are also able to create from within, no matter what's happening on the outside in the world. And as you know, there's a lot of really upsetting and difficult things happening inside of the world. And it would be really hard to say that people are happy. Yeah. But it is possible, though, for people to dig deep within and find moments of joy in the midst of some of that really difficult time.
Yeah. So to my understanding, joy is more of an internal, you know, status, while happiness is more kind of behavioral, you know, an expression of that excitement or emotions that we feel. But I have one more actually question about that. Not a question, just a touch up on what's the difference now between the joy, love, and the joy or love, joy, and happiness. There is a spectrum, so I guess there is a range. And I know that love is related to our internal hormones, oxytocin, and the happiness also related to other endorphins. So, do you have any, you know, what do you call it, recommendation or explanation on that?
Well, the first thing I'll say is what they have in common is that they all contribute to our well-being. Mm-hmm. So they're all positive, you know, to have. But I'll say that, you know, love and joy, they do have some connections in that, you know, love can be the source of our joy. It can be the reason why we feel joy. And as I've mentioned before, love can also be our source of pain. Yeah. And I'm sure that's arguable. Like, is that really love if it causes pain? But it's sometimes our deep love for something that, you know, when we take risks, just like with joy, when we are at the heights of our joy, there's always a possibility of coming down and crashing down, you know? And so, yeah, they're both very risky to dive all the way deeply into. But love can be a source of joy. And then, you know, joy can also deepen our feelings of love. And whether we're talking about love for somebody or love for a career, love for ourselves, the more joy that we're able to experience, the more love that we open ourselves up to also experiencing. So really, this idea of love and joy, you know, they can mutually reinforce each other and, you know, really enhance our wellness exponentially.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. And all these three, you know, positive emotions or experience or I mean together and explain them. And tell us a little bit, Pamela, about the research on the joy. And can joy be intentional? And is it related? I mean, the joy, happiness, or love, are they related to suffering or anything on that?
So I've been diving into my own firsthand research because there is research out there, and a lot of it right now that's experimental is looking at how people near the ends of their lives are experiencing joy. Looking at hospice care, looking at the care that nurses are providing. And there's some really interesting information that's going on, you know, or that we're getting from those studies. It's looking at more strategies and the intention, you know, in terms of how people are finding their joy and what it is that they appreciate near the end of their lives. What my research is looking to do is to dig into joy as a concept. And what does it actually mean? What is our understanding of what joy is, and how does that play out in our lives? Because when I talk about joy, especially, you know, with the book Joyfully Single, it's kind of like joy and single. Like, why are we putting those two words together? You know, and people struggle with putting joy with anything that can be a struggle. So for a lot of people, being single is a struggle. For a lot of people, being unemployed is a struggle. So if I were to write a book called Joyfully Unemployed, people would look at me like, what are you talking about? But what I am finding is that people who are experiencing struggle, and my research on struggle and how people overcome barriers is what led me to joy. So like when Brené Brown said she's starting her research trying to learn about human connection, she said she kept hearing people talk about shame, and she's like, well, no, I want to learn about connection. But she understood that, you know, over time, oh, okay, so I need to back it up a little bit and start diving into the things that make connection difficult. So where my research started was actually with the difficulties. What makes it difficult for people, for example, to make it to college who are first in their families? What makes people what struggle when it comes to divorce? What makes people struggle when they're overcoming trauma or when they come back from war? These are all different populations that I looked at. And the commonality was that they were all in some way seeking joy, seeking fulfillment. So when I looked at the people maybe who were struggling with unemployment from the military, what are some of the things that they did in order to cope and to get through those really difficult times? And obviously unemployment was probably one of the least of traumatic things that somebody in the military has experienced. But what did they do? What was the strategy? And in every one of these studies, it became apparent that they found ways to secure their joy, whether it was through other people, whether it was through things that the pursuits that gave them life and made them feel fulfilled. And so that's when I decided to pivot into the direction of joy so that we can better understand this. Because when I talk about joy in unemployment, or I talk about joy after, a traumatic life, people look at me sideways, but it's important to understand the role that joy plays in our ability to overcome these barriers.
Yeah, exactly. So, to my understanding, I mean, in every challenging or difficult situation, there is a silver lining or there is a twist that we can practice joy into it and overcome with it. As I mentioned at the beginning, joy is the zest of life, you know, it's the currency of our keep going in life and in the challenging situation or in our daily living, you know, our routine. And in the relationship of the trauma healing and depression and joy. So can you touch up on that in a term of cognitive and mental, you know, stamina?
Yeah, so one of the things that I stumbled upon early in my research, particularly when I was looking at military service members and their families was this concept called post-traumatic growth.
Yeah.
And it was just this idea that after experiencing some of the most extreme cases of trauma, there were still people who not only were resilient, because resilient means you bounce back. So you're back to where you were. But, and that's a good, that's not a bad thing. But what the researchers were finding, and this is Tedeschi and Calhoun specifically, they were finding that people are not just bouncing back, they're growing, they're enhancing their lives, they're finding greater value after the traumatic experience. And what they studied was, how is this happening? What are the dynamics that's making this possible? And so when we talk about that trauma that people experience and the relationship to joy, I actually have their model integrated into my model. My model is the multidimensional framework of joy. And the part that their information or their theory becomes relevant is in that piece of liberation. And when we find ways to liberate ourselves from hardship, oppression, trauma, it releases us to really step fully into our growth, and not only into our joy, but not only step into our joy, but to also start to make an impact on the lives of others as a result of our own liberation. So our trauma is, once we find ways to become liberated from it, then becomes the catalyst for change in our lives and the lives of others. So, the same can be said, you know, for depression. If we look at depression and joy on a continuum, and I kind of have this way of looking at, how do we know that we're at the baseline? Like, I'm baseline being, I'm neutral. Mm-hmm. I'm not overly joyous. I'm not overly depressed. I'm just neutral. Mm-hmm. But as we climb up that, we'll just call it a ladder, we can begin to find ways of experiencing greater joy and with more intention. As we sort of fall down that ladder, we start finding ourselves sinking into places of depression and really not having intentional acts of joy. What's important about that is that baseline and knowing where that baseline is, mm-hmm. and knowing when you fall or starting to fall below it, or when you are intentionally rising above it. I have mornings where I am perfectly fine, and then by 3 o'clock, I feel angst, and I'm like, what is going on inside of me right now?
I know.
What is it? And then I'll remember that maybe something was said in a 9 o'clock meeting that hit me a certain way that I'm still carrying at 3 o'clock. And that self-awareness enables me to say, I am below the baseline right now. Yeah. I need to figure out how to get intentional and get above it again. So that's where I think the depression piece comes in terms of awareness and knowing when we're falling and sinking too low. And of course, we have clinical depression where there's treatment people need to take. And so we need to make sure whatever you need, whatever you've been prescribed, whether it is behavioral therapy methods or if it is medicinal, mm-hmm. you've got to do what you've got to do to make sure you understand where you are in terms of that baseline.
Yeah, you really touch up on a very good point, you know, that being aware, that self-awareness of our baseline. And sometimes it can be the act of, you know, self-care. Sometimes it may be, I mean, that you didn't have this good enough sleep the night before, yes. you know, and it's just not just an interaction, you know, with a friends or colleagues. So it's just that awareness and our checkout list, you know, that how we did the self-care and how we did the care of, you know, our emotion and thoughts and stories, the mental stories or self-talk as well, and how we fall on that, you know, default pathways of the self-worth that may affect our choice for being joyful. Right. And do you have any recommendation? How do we practice joy? So
one of the things that I think is probably the biggest misconception about joy is that it is purely an emotion. And it's important for us to understand that joy is multidimensional in nature. It has a lot of sides to it. And so when I talk about the practice of joy and how we practice joy. There are four key ways that we practice joy, and they all start with ease. It all worked out perfectly. when I first came up with this, they did not all start with E, but they all had the same meaning. And I figured out how to make it all work in a easy to remember way. Yeah. But there is the ethos of joy, and I'll talk about what each of these are. There is there's the ethos of joy. There is the experience of joy. There is the emotion of joy, and there's the expression of joy. So emotion is just one of the ways that we can practice joy. If we think about joy in terms of our ethos, those are our values and the things that really kind of make up our character and who we are, and what it is that we, you know, gives us life. And so my ethos is really about helping other people. I think about some of the struggles that I've had in different parts of my life and not having people in position to help serve in ways that would have been really helpful. So it has really become my mission in some ways to be that person for other people. And to be able to step in and do that. And so when I'm able to live out that value in my life, it brings me joy. So that's one way to practice joy. If we look at the expression of joy, that's one of the things that has been stifled in a lot of ways. So for example, I recall being in a relationship in which, and I grew up in a household of joy. So I have that foundation. My traumatizing experiences didn't happen to me until 18 and up adulthood.
Yeah.
And so I thankfully have the foundation of joy. So as an adult, that's when the joy flame sort of got put out. So I recall being in a relationship in my 20s and getting really excited about a job that I got. I was just dancing in the room. I was so excited. And the person I was dating just looked at me with a blank face of disapproval and said, "You really need to calm down. It's just, it's not that serious." And it told me that my joy was not allowed to be expressed. And I actually lived with that for a while until I was able to sort of in my 40s reclaim what it meant to express joy. If that is dancing in the living room, if that is singing out loud, for some people it's quiet. Certain people it's sitting still, eyes closed, meditating, and at total peace with the moment, just being present in the moment.
Exactly. So
we don't all have to be you know, dancing around in order to express joy. What I do ask people to do is consider what is the way that most resonates with who you are. And so the other two is emotion. And we know emotion, you know, that is basically our body's physiological response to what's going on in, you know, in the atmosphere and what we're feeling. And so we might cry, we might have goosebumps. There's a lot of different things that may happen when we step into the emotion of joy. And then the last one is experiences. We practice joy by creating joyful experiences. You know, and that can be whatever it is, you know, if it's going for a walk, if it's taking a trip somewhere, you know, but creating those experiences. So those are the four ways: the ethos, the emotion, the expression, and the what's the
experience,
fourth one?
Experience. Yeah. Wow. So insightful. Who could have guessed there's so much, you know, in that three little words of joy. So that's that was so thoughtful.
That is also what makes it wonderful, is that we don't all have to pick one, you know, it doesn't mean we have to be emotional all the time. If we're just not emotional people, then maybe we have another way. Maybe it's our ethos. Maybe it's our character and our values that we step into. So it does give room for you to step into your joy in a way that matches who you are as a human being.
Exactly. And there is no order for these four E's. So we don't have to have all four and we can pick up one. But if we are about to have all four, there is no order for it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Great. So wonderful. And I saved my last question, my best question for the last, which is coming to your book, The Joyfully Single. Very catchy title.
Thank
So,
you.
or The Joyfully Married. So just that to me, learning joyfully single, then you learn how to be joyfully married as well. It's just that how to be joyfully a person. So just can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. And that's the key is really being joyful, excuse me, or, you know, knowing how to exude joyfulness, not just for other people out in the world, but within, in whatever phase of life you're in, whether it is being single, whether it is being married, whether it is in your professional world, because, you know, one of the books I'm working on now is The Joyful Leader, you know, and so how do you bring joy into all of the different facets of your life, because it's needed. This isn't just some false positivity and let's just slap joy on top of all the pain. This is, I am using joy as a strategy in some ways to make sure that I can overcome some of the hard times that come up in the workplace, at home, out in the world. I'm going to first acknowledge the pain that I'm feeling, because I can't address the pain if I don't acknowledge it. So I'm going to acknowledge it first, but then I'm also going to enable the joy that I have learned to create and that I practice to be something, like you said, to fuel us with the energy to keep going and to keep pushing forward.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, Pamela. So I look forward to read your book, but I already have learned a lot from you, you know, just, but at the end, do you have anything else to sum it up for us?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest misconceptions of joy is that it is just some really good feeling. And it is almost gaslighting. It's unfair to tell people to just feel good all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important for us to see joy as more of a lifeline in some ways, but also as a way to look at like resilience. So one of the terms in my book is joy resilience. So how do you look at joy as a catalyst for resilience and not just this temporary, you know, oh, just be happy, but as something that means that I'm literally fighting for my life in order to, it doesn't have to be literal either, but I'm fighting for my life in order to create the best life possible in what I've been called to do, whether that's to be a leader or to be a spouse or to be a parent, whatever it is, how do you allow joy to be the catalyst to accomplish that goal in your life?
Yeah, hopefully we all can do that and fill up our joy bucket, Pamela. So, and then we have a more joyful world, as you mentioned, joyful leaders, joyful people, single or married, you know, in every aspect of our life, you know, as a parents or as our children or in education or every organizations that we are having, which we don't have enough of that, you know, joyfully, you know, status or situation in life at work, especially these days. And we all need that.
Right. Yes.
So how our listener or audience can find you or just, I mean, the website, I mean, connecting with you. I know you're on LinkedIn, but any other information that they can reach you?
Yeah, LinkedIn is great, Dr. Pamela Larde there. But I have a website. It just got established, reestablished. This, the old website is embarrassing, so please don't ever go to that one. The new one is drpamela.com, drpamelalarde.com. And you'll find my social media there. On all social media outlets, I'm Joy, the Joy Researcher. So you can definitely find me there, Instagram, TikTok. I don't know how to use TikTok, but I have an account.
Yeah, we all are learning and evolving, you know, in a matter of social media.
Right. I have about 5 posts there, but one day it's going to change.
Yeah, that's another post-traumatic growth.
Yes, it is.
It was wonderful to chat with you today, Pamela, and thank you so much for your contribution to our podcast, and we enjoyed our conversation with you and look forward to going for part 2 after you wrote the Joyful Leaders one.
Ah, yes, I know. So we'll see what's coming up next, but thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too.
Goodbye to our listeners, and remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.